that wrapped around my fingers come unwound. Yeah, the woman I had wrapped around my finger come unwound. Kick me out of the house and now I'm...
Coming up next at 2 o'clock, oh yes, it's the no award-winning show, The Curated Catastrophe, starring the self-proclaimed king and queen of slapdashery themselves. You know them, you love them, yeah. It's Maldoror and Shay from the Bay, that's right. Maldoror and Shay from the Bay, together they make The Curated Catastrophe. Every Sunday, 2 p.m. Encore broadcast, Saturday, 6 a.m.
And now for something completely different.
This is Maldoror's mom. I love listening to Radio Valencia FM. 87.9. Oh. Fuck. On 87.9, Radio Valencia.
Yeah.
If you hear this opening track, you know it's The Cure to Catastrophe on RadioValencia.fm.
Come on, here we go again, motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here, too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand, I can't feel anything. It isn't like I want to sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. Come on.
You are listening to The Cure to Catastrophe with Maldoror and me, Shay from the Bay. Oh, wait, hold on a second. Here's Maldoror's favorite part.
Satan. One more time, motherfucker.
Welcome to another episode of The Cure to Catastrophe. Maldoror is back home. Yes! Maldoror is back home from 3 weeks in France to fill his chair at the Ministry of Complaints here. Later on in the show, get ready. We have a guest, Felipe. Felipe, resident life hacker, is going to join us.
If he actually turns up.
He may.
I have suspicions about people's timeliness today based on how I've already been jerked around.
That's okay. But let's mention that he's going to be here to talk about his ACLU fundraiser.
Oh, yes.
Very important. But also, he's going to share, you know, life hacks. He's just joyful. Hey, listen. We opened up with a song that it's not our opening credits. We couldn't give up Richard Cheese, but it's Sunday Afternoon Drinking by the Seagulls. Because why wait for Ephesus? It's like establishing a shot for the show. Let's call this opening segment All That We Are. We're going to hear a song called Young, and then Dead. It's The Cure to Catastrophe, RadioValencia.fm.
Creeping in my window, I get a hot flash whenever the wind blows. Nothing to my name now when everybody knows. When I'm in need of cash, I go down to the bingo. Last night I asked Jenny for a quid. This is the fifth time I'm used to taking the piss. A bottle of Rio and some chicken and chips in my fuck me up pumps and my wine house quiff.
We love you, Amy.
Who's that knocking at the front door? No more. I'm 20-something young with my priorities straight. Yeah. I need to buy a booze and I need to buy a draw. This summer I'm going out every night. Yeah. Anyone can get it. I ain't scared of a fight. You can be down or be on the other side. But this is my idea of the perfect life. But taught myself to fire when I needed ammunition. I taught myself to sing and I taught myself to shout. I taught myself how to get by and go without. I taught myself to make a proper English breakfast. Cause I'm a little teapot, short and stout. I'm that girl all alone in the crowd. Cause all of you's are followers and do it for the clout. I can't afford to be what everybody's on. The only way I can afford is if you do a discount.
Play my bass here.
Jay Casey Kasem, and I'd like to remind you that Chafer on the Bay is the one keeping the flaming soul of this dumpster fire alive.
This is the Cure to Catastrophe on RadioValencia.fm, and Maldor, I love what's happening with this background music.
I like it.
Nice job.
It's the background iPod. We're using antiquated technology to bring you modern internet radio.
In that set, we closed it out with two brand new songs. Last one was Dead by Sudan Archives. We haven't heard from her in a while. She's been on tour with Andre 3000 for a couple of years, so she hasn't put anything out new. That's it. It's called Dead.
Is she playing? She's on this flute tour?
No, you're an asshole. That's Lizzo. She plays the electric violin.
No. And what? Andre 3000's last record was like a fucking instrumental flute album.
At least it wasn't shitty flute.
It's pretty much, well, I don't know. I haven't listened to it. I can't say whether it's good or bad. I don't like flute music.
Before that, we heard Young by Little Sims. That was a new release back in May off of her sixth album. I really like her, out of London. I thought I might get a pass
from you. London Sudanese or London Nigerian?
Nigerian, yes.
Yeah.
Now, I thought...
Played her in December.
It was a pretty apt descriptor when I opened up the show for no real reason, describing you as the chair of the Ministry of Complaints, because the second the music started, it was full of complaints about your trip. Maldor has been out of the country on this terrific vacation.
I had a wonderful time.
Terrific escape.
Every time we were someplace, it was spectacular. But the interstitial crap, the train, like, Europe is like, they're big on train strikes. And, hey, it's John Hell.
What's up, John Hell?
Hi, John Hell.
John Hell, we are right now in
the
middle.
We're on the air.
Yes, we are on the air, and we are in the middle of Maldoror's Ministry of Complaints, although he just returned from a three-week tour in Europe, in continental Europe.
Is he complaining about Europe?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Italian train strikes, canceled French trains.
The airing of grievances?
Yeah. Yes, effective complaints are his métier.
Yeah. I listen. I'm a regular listener to the show. So, have you already started?
John, we're on air.
No, I mean, like, complaints.
Certainly.
Well,
it began off air.
Oh, my God. You guys started the complaints 15 minutes
ago. Yeah. Indeed.
Okay, so what's your favorite complaint so far?
I haven't found one yet.
What's your favorite complaint so far?
I don't want to herald complaints. I want the good stuff, you know?
Actually, French train strikes are incredibly civilized. I mean, sorry, Italian train strikes. They let you know 3 days in advance, we're having a strike from 9 p.m. to 9 p.m. on this date, which is, incidentally, the date you have to leave the country because that's the only day that works in your schedule, so you have to take a goddamn Flix bus, which is European for Greyhound.
Now, my argument about this is that anyone who's traveled to Europe before, let's raise our pinkies, knows that part of travel is delays. Like, that's just it. It's continental
fine.
Europe is worse than Chicago.
I said this was my favorite complaint. Like, the civilized nature that allowed me to make other plans.
Do you have a least favorite complaint?
Interpersonal drama with traveling party, which was eight deep at one point. And one couple went home early. We won't go into that on the air.
But they will at therapy.
Together.
They go home together.
Yeah, I don't know if they're still together. I think they lashed out at others rather than lashing out at one another, which they should.
You don't know someone to travel with them. Have they ever traveled before?
Yeah, they've gone to Burning Man.
Survived Burning Man.
Although I don't know if they've gone to Burning Man together. Fuck, I don't know. I'm not them. I don't know what other people know.
I have a different idea that you don't know someone until you work with them.
Well, don't travel eat, folks.
Yeah, that's definitely
true. Pardon my French. My ex and I traveled to Cuba together after being together for 1 year, and actually that was really amazing. And when it came to transportation, all the tourists got to use the amazing Japanese import buses. They're beautiful and modern and air-conditioned, but all the locals had to use the worst modes of transportation you could ever imagine.
Yeah. Jalopies.
See, this is
that's putting it nicely.
This is why I'm not complaining over much about Flixbus, because it was air conditioned and, you know, it had a bathroom, although whatever. But at least it had these amenities.
Did you use
No. Okay. I've been on third world buses that, like, you know, were hell on wheels.
You've been on buses with livestock, yes? Because tell me, if you haven't been on a bus with livestock,
I've been on a bus in Guatemala, but I don't recall any actual specific livestock.
Yeah, no.
So we should get back to the music.
Is that why John Hell is here? He's like, cut the here. Fucking bullshit. Play more music.
Yeah, well, you should get a pair of headphones. We probably don't have any, though.
I'm really excited. There is a set of World War II headphones hanging up right here that I invite you to employ.
Were there more?
It's AM quality.
Were there more in the in the remote box? There's supposed to be the headphones in there as well. Yeah, well, we could continue the tradition of scavenging stuff we need from the remote box. Yay, it's a neoprene bag. I'm going to play a song, an artist I discovered while I was on... while I was on my European tour, which I'm not going to remember the name of because I closed the window.
But that's why this is the Curity Catastrophe. Maldor, did you put anything together for my birthday?
Nope.
I said we already did one about 1979, but that doesn't mean you can't be a good co-host and just...
Well, no, you bailed on your own theme.
I didn't bail. I just didn't acknowledge. I said we could do Dead Friends or my birthday, and you didn't send anything.
Well, I didn't feel
back.
I felt that was a self-evident choice.
No, the communication cycle is actually a two-way thing. It requires acknowledgement. You see.
Anyway,
what is dialogue?
This is an artist I discovered while I was traveling, I really love his record. He has a whole record of Johnny Cash covers, and this is one of them. It's called... his name is Brian Owens. He's a preacher in the South, and he does soul... This record is soul covers of Johnny Cash's country songs. And anyway, I'll probably play some later in the show when I'm not playing fucking birthday music. Anyway, this is his version of Ring of Fire on Radio Valencia.fm.
I got the Johnny Cash album, the Soul of Cash. Yeah. We want to do something for you from that record. It's one of our favorites. Goes a little something like this.
my fans, you know. I'm a singer, man. You heard of me. Stitch Jones, Earl of Funk, Duke of Cool, Ayatollah of Rock and Roller.
Shut your face, hippie.
Shut up.
been a long time coming, but I know change is gonna come. Nothing up in the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, and I know change is gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. And I say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down. Oh, my. Every day.
Joplin.
You're listening to The Cure to Catastrophe on RadioValencia.fm, and that was Maldoror's fantastically not pre-planned or pre-prepped.
Well, I did plan to play those songs, just not the first set.
Just not today.
No. So, that was an artist I discovered while I was in France. Brian Owens, who, as I mentioned previously, is a preacher in the somewhere in the South, and the person who brought to my attention is like, this guy is inversely famous to as talented as he is. I bought his record directly from his Southern record label, and they were so excited they sent me a whole extra record.
That's excellent. So you sent me the link to this music while you were away.
Yeah.
And when you put it on, it was so familiar because I really listened to it.
You actually listened to something.
I listened to a lot of things, Maldoror.
Not me.
Well, that's how I feel about you. Oh, it's mutual. Now, that was a great set. I like that it's going to lead nicely into another loungy set that we have coming up.
Okay.
For whatever reason, I went on an art house-ishly confusing section. I kind of went with, like, composers. Okay. And so most of the set is instrumental, but I did throw in something from Ken Nordine. I was thinking about him the other day. I don't know why, but he seemed to sort of fit into this sort of, like, groovy, jazzy... Yeah.
Okay.
We have a what the fuck coming from the EP over here. Shall we jiggle some wires?
What the fuck? What?
Shall we continue to be no award winning?
I'm sorry. Oh, what the fuck is I have a bunch of confusing things open on my computer, including a walkthrough on our potential new studio space, which is in a 3D walkthrough, which nearly crashes my computer.
So that's where we are.
Yeah.
Well, shall we talk? It was nice to have John Hell here in studio.
Yeah.
He stopped off at the, and I really wanted to get to this, but it's the San Francisco Book Fair, and it's
the KUSF Record Swap.
It's also the book fair.
Yeah, well, one thing's more important than the other.
Well, if you're literate, anyway, it's still going on. Today is the last day. It's 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's obviously free and open to the public, but you should buy some things. It's at 1150 25th Street.
See, I have a thing
at Minnesota.
I won't go into a bookstore unless I buy something.
So fucking buy something, dude.
So I don't go into bookstores if I don't have any money.
Okay, well.
But, like I was in a bookstore in Florence recently. And I bought two books. I bought an excellent book called The Twat Files.
Really?
Yeah. By...
what type of book? Like, what kind of writing is this?
Don French. It's actually surprisingly... It was surprisingly uplifting.
Is it an essay, a novel?
Dawn French was half of French and Saunders, which is a British comedy duo. She was one of the co-writers of Absolutely Fabulous.
Fab.
Yeah, that's
the... Forgot about that.
Yeah, so she was not one of the two people. That was the Saunders and somebody else, but she was one of the writers. Anyway... No, she just has... It's a series of essays on the time she was a total twat. And usually it's because she misunderstood something, where she arrives with it is by telling you these funny stories, like, because I always do this. I tell funny stories about times I did something fucking awful, but then I still live with the fucking hate and shame and self doubt. Don't have this on the week that was. And she's like, no, if you could just kind of tell a funny story and then just be done with it. I was like, oh, that's... So it turned into kind of a self-help book about twattiness.
I might use that on the week that was, but I will only juxtapose it or put it up against my saying, I make good life decisions. Because fair is fair.
I mean, like, the one example that springs to mind is her friend Ben Elton, who's a noted British comedy writer, Blackadder, amongst other things. He wrote a play, and she really wanted to be in it. But she didn't have any idea what it was about or anything. She had written a play, and she was like, oh, God, I want to be in this so bad. And she wanted to be in it so bad that they were at a party together, and she was, like, ignoring him because she didn't want to talk to him because she didn't want to come off across his knee. Anyway, so he comes over and talks to her, and he's like, oh, by the way, I've written a play. And she's like, oh, I hadn't heard.
She plays disinterested.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then he's like, yeah, and so I want Hugh for the part, for the lead. And she's like... she's like, "Oh, thank you. This guy's open, and like I won't disappoint you. It'll be wonderful." And he's like, "Wait, but no, I want Hugh Grant to play the lead."
Accents can be the darndest things, can't they?
Yeah, and she shriveled into a little twatty ball and left.
Oh, enunciation is key, as we do talk about that here.
So she,
especially when you play the Black Grapes. Anyway, point is, enunciate, people. It's a very important in the communication cycle. Oh, that's a great story.
Yeah, that's the first story in the book, and it's a book of those. It was a great, like, you know, lighthearted around the pole read. I forgot what else of it.
Did you bring that traveling with you?
I bought it in Florence.
You brought, okay, good.
So yes,
because it's pretty fast read.
Oh, yeah. I finished it, I think, before I left the south of France. So how are things?
They're fine.
Great. It's your birthday this week.
I'm only getting older. Yes, it's another solar return. We're doing better this year, though, I think.
Well, you personally or the world in general?
Me personally. Fuck this world. Everything's going to shit. No, but I mean in terms of the, you know, last year I was barely cognizant.
Right.
We're pulling out of grief. It's a slow process.
There's no timeline for it.
I wish there were. Like, I wish there were just a little bit of a guidebook.
A little signpost. Well, at least they're the stages.
No, those aren't it. Those aren't it.
Really? I've always found the stages to be very accurate.
So I listened to a podcast, Dr. Huberman. He's out of Stanford.
Well, there's your first mistake.
A lot of people who are, like, into life optimization.
You should never listen to podcasts, except for this one.
Well, listen. Because it's the Curated Catastrophe. But it was really good. He had this expert on from New Mexico who was delightful. Anyway, in grief, separation, and mourning. And I listened to it, and it was basically about how we're raised with these ideas about how life should be an attachment. And then when that attachment is severed, we have to reconcile, you know, what life is with what we believed it to be, and et cetera. And it basically, it's like grief and loss and all this. It's just about mental reconciliation. It's not just about that, but it's a huge part of it.
Yes, you have to ultimately get to the acceptance phase.
It's not about... See, I feel like it's a little... I think it's a little more fluid than that, male drawer. Anyway, the point is, hey, your last segment of music is a terrific lead-in, even without pre-prep, into this next segment, which is just art house-ish.
So my co-host was like, I was like, we should do a theme because I'm jet lagged and I can't engage my brain. And she's like, do you want to do, and I'm going to be awake before I get there. So she's like, well, do you want to do Dead Friends? I'm like, no. Or my birthday. I'm like, I'm fine, whatever.
Still didn't prepare anything, so
I looked up stuff I might play. But and then she sent me her things over today, and she's like, I ignored the theme, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
The title of the playlist is I Follow Zero Instructions, plus we already did a 19 blah, blah, blah episode.
But we didn't. We did your birthday episode last year, because I just did all songs about
the year before, where we pulled songs from that year. And we talked about, like, what was number one, and yes.
Yeah, not true.
Maldor, do you know how long we've been doing the show?
5 long years.
It's closer to 7.
Yeah, I was gonna say 5 years ago was the fucking pandemic.
So
we were already a well-oiled machine.
We were a unit. Well, I wouldn't say well-oiled. We're like we were no award-winning even back then.
So
brand you can trust for consistency.
Just to back announce my stuff, I already talked about Brian Owens with Ring of Fire, which I was going to play at the top of the show. We heard Roe Fisherman from the all-time great album, not just an all-time great reggae album, but Heart of the Congos by the Congos. And then the final song of the set was a cover of Sam Cooke's Change is Gonna Come by, again, Brian Owens with his dad, Thomas Owens, and also Melena Smith and Joanna Sorenko. I was going to play that one, like, to sort of round out the show, but I had to play it quickly because reasons involving licensing and stuff, and I don't have access to my music, and I don't know what I'm going to do for the rest of the show.
It's okay. The next couple sets are a little bit... I kind of thought something like this might come up just because you just got home. I don't know. You have a busy day today, so I made these segments just a little bit longer.
Oh, yeah, I do have a busy day today.
Yeah, you do. Not going to the book fair with your homie Shay, but that's all right.
Nope.
Going to see a movie.
No, I'm going to see Luigi the Musical.
Oh, the musical. Oh, perfect. No, that was actually the perfect lead-in to this next segment.
I'm going to see a musical about Luigi Mangione.
I'm so excited to hear about that.
It's at the Independent tonight.
Super.
And they've sold out. They sold out 4 days in the Tenderloin, and they moved it to the Independent. And they sold out the first show so quickly, they added three additional shows. So you can still see it on Tuesday, I think, but today is sold out.
Well, opening up this next segment, we have someone called Galt McDermott, who is a Canadian-American composer. People might know
him.
Highly, but he did. But he is very famous for the Grammy Award-winning song "African Waltz," which came out in 1960. But his most successful musicals were "Hair" and "The Two Gentlemen of Verona."
Musicals?
Wait, yes. Yes.
Wait. Was he in them?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't write them.
No.
Oh.
But yes.
Yeah. God, we're fucking babbling away this show. So I watched the Yacht Rock documentary on the airplane.
Stop it, dude.
And it did.
Does it have the Gronk on there?
I don't know who the Gronk is.
Oh, he's like a football guy that does like yacht cruises for women, and I feel like that was like part of the origin of yacht, like the term for the genre.
It originated apparently from a YouTube, or it was an online. It's a bunch of sketch comedians in LA who didn't have anything else to do, and so they made these little, like, they were viral videos before YouTube actually started, and it was yacht. They coined the term yacht rock. And they're pretty hilarious. Well, they claim to have coined the term yacht rock, but whatever. There wasn't really a term for that genre, and then all of a sudden there was.
Was there a name for that group, or were they just sort of like a bunch of random
improv? I don't remember.
Yeah,
I don't remember what it is.
Okay.
But they made a documentary about it, and they had access to everybody. And like, but it did exactly what I was afraid it was going to do, which is humanize that music that I hate with a mortal, fiery passion. Michael McDonald seems like a really nice guy. God damn it. I didn't want that. And Christopher Cross, like really super nice dude. Like, his career, like has, yeah, whatever. Why did I bring this up? Oh, because Toto.
Oh.
Pretty much the apex of yacht rock, because those guys played on every yacht rock track in different configurations. Yeah. White guys writing a song about Africa.
That's what we're gonna.
It's gonna take.
No, this isn't that track.
It's gonna take a lot to drag me away from here or whatever.
And yet, no. The song that we're gonna open up with, it's called "Coffee Cold." After that, we'll hear from Ken Nordine, who I fucking love. Every time I find something new, it's just that I hadn't listened to this particular album in depth in a really long time, but he did an album called Colors. It was in 1966, and it's obviously a spoken word. We've got some jazz in the background. Anyway, it's his observations, which are just terrific. So we'll hear from him. But anyway, this entire segment is a little bit dramatic, a little art house-ish, and I think it's a nice follow-up to your last set. Which we vaguely remember because it was about 10 years ago that we played music. And so here it is. You're listening to The Cure to Catastrophe. It's Galt McDermott with Coffee Cold.
On Radio Valencia.
FM.
has a color, is in an awful mess. Yes. Ask anyone with flesh, they'll tell you. Flesh, as a color, is about as close to a problem as a color can get. Some people think the only color flesh color should be is the color their flesh color is, which, pure and simple, is color-centric thinking. Popular in some corners. But you and I know, though, that the proper color for flesh to be is the proper color it is, varying from complexion to complexion. But if black flesh and white flesh and brown flesh and red flesh and yellow flesh and tan flesh, if all the fleshes that are flesh want to establish a sensible similarity among differences, we better forget the flesh and the colors it can be and think on the spirit and its singular light. Otherwise, flesh as a color could be black and blue, or even a bloody hue.